Okay, I got it on. Everybody blessed this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm just ready to preach right now, but I'll hold off. I will hold off. Did you tell me to go ahead? Father, we love you this morning. We praise you. We magnify you. We glorify you. There is no God like our God. And Father, as we lift up the praises of an awesome, mighty God, we just invite your presence here, Lord. We invite you to be enthroned in the praises of your people this morning. Just let your presence destroy yokes and lift burdens. Heal the sick, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
I know a place where we can go to lay the troubles down, eating your soul. I know a place where mercy flows. Take the stains, make you whiter than snow. Like a tide, it is rising up deep inside a current that moves and makes it come alive.
Hurting, if you're still alive and breathing, praise the Lord. I'm gonna see a victory for the battle, you know. hear the new future to tell. For the dry season is over, there is a cloud beginning to swell. Skies heavy with blessing, lift your eyes, offer your heart. Jesus Christ, open the heavens, now we receive the Spirit of God.
broken. Do you feel the shadows deepen? But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? Do you wish that you could see all made new? Is a new creation coming? Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst? Is it good that we remind ourselves of this?
Scroll.
God, that you hallelujah. Glory to God. I sounded a little loud there. Praise God, praise God, praise God. It is good to be with you in the house of God. Hopefully, I'm not going to say anything. I'm not superstitious or nothing, but let's just say I've had enough snow and ice. We have more snow and ice this year than we had in the last 5 years. So, you know, global warming. Hallelujah. God is good. While Bernie's finishing the offering, let me ask you a question. Somebody help me out. Tell me, and this has nothing to do with my message, okay? But it has everything to do with where we're going forward, okay? Was there ever a time in the Bible where an angel assisted somebody?
Yes.
All right, give me one.
In the prison.
With Paul and Silas.
Yeah.
And I think maybe even Peter and John, okay? Somebody else, or an angel assisted him.
Elijah?
Yeah, they fed Elijah. After he ate that angel food, he outran the chariots.
Yeah.
Hmm?
And they cooked food for him, you know.
Yeah. How about somebody else give me another example of where an angel was in the Bible? Daniel? What remember what Daniel said, or the angel Gabriel said to Daniel? From the first day you prayed, Daniel, I was sent with the answer. But the prince of Persia withstood me. But your prince, Michael, assisted me, helped war with me. Amen. Well, how about Mary? Didn't Gabriel show up with Mary? And then later he showed up and told Joseph, hey, Joseph, don't worry about this. Exactly. That's the point I'm trying to get to. There's a lot of places in the Bible. How about Jacob? He saw angels descending and ascending.
Yeah.
Amen.
There
you go. Another angel.
Yeah, yeah.
So you see all these places. But when Jacob saw the angels going and coming, I wonder what they were doing. You know, the angels are said to take the prayers of the saints to the throne room of God.
Amen.
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 So, and then there is one who withstood the enemy for 40 days and 40 nights, and the angels came and ministered to him. Jesus, remember? The point I'm making is, I've been very guilty because I've seen so much junk in the body of Messiah. I've been kind of guilty. I like to err on the side of caution. But the truth is, there is a realm that we can see, and there is a realm of the unseen that may even be more real than the one we can see. Remember Elisha? Elisha's servant come out and said, "Oh man, that army's here." He's like, "Lord, open his eyes, let him see that those who be for us are more than those who are against us." Amen. John on the Isle of Patmos, John was open to that spirit realm. God allowed him to peer in. But my favorite is Isaiah chapter 6. When Isaiah comes into the temple after his uncle Uzziah dies, and he said, "And I saw the Lord high and lifted up." There was a glimpse. Isaiah was open to that spirit realm. Amen? Hallelujah. You got your Bibles? So in the coming days, we're going to talk, you know, in the coming weeks, months, maybe the rest of this year, we're going to minister on that unseen realm because there's a whole lot to it. Amen? And you know, when I look at stories about our nation, such as the story of when Washington needed cannons and they sent troops up into New York to Fort Ticonderoga. Amen. And they were outnumbered. So they really weren't sure. They really didn't have a plan. They were just going up there. And when they got up there, they were all asleep. And they were able to take Fort Ticonderoga and they were able to capture the cannons. But they didn't have a way to get the cannons back. And it snowed. And they slid them back to the Boston Harbor. And they set them up on the hills. And they didn't have any gunpowder or balls for the cannons. But when the British fleet saw the cannons, they booked out of town. You tell me there weren't some angels involved there. George Washington, when the Indian chief finally met him, you know, he told him, said, "We tried to kill you. We couldn't kill you." Don't think there was an angel riding on that horse with George Washington? Amen. You better believe there were. And we're coming. I'm gonna give you a little glimpse here. We're in these days, okay? All right. But when I get done, see, this message is gonna be a little dark. So I'm saving this for last. Well, it is the last days. I'm gonna save it for last. In order to give you a little something bright to leave by, okay? Turn with me to John 18. John 18. Hallelujah. God is good. I was going to read this whole passage, but we'll just go to verse 33. Father, we love you this morning. We praise you. We thank you for your word and what it means to us. Your word is truth, Lord God. It is absolute truth. And Father, I pray you anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive your word today. In Jesus' name. Then Pilate entered the praetorium, again called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me?" In other words, Pilate, are you asking for yourself, or are you just repeating what someone else has said to you? Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. but now my kingdom is not from here. Pilate therefore said to him, Are you a king? Then Jesus answered, You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Pilate said to him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, I find no fault in him. But I want to go back to what Pilate said. He said, What is truth? You know, today, almost 2,000 years from Jesus' death, or from that moment that Jesus stood in that praetorium with Pilate, we can still ask, Pilate's question still needs to be asked today. What is truth? You know, we see the gospel preached on television. It's preached on the radio. It's on the internet. It's on podcasts. You can buy CDs. You can buy the Bible on tape. There's no excuse for not hearing the gospel. The gospel is preached more today, especially in America, than it ever has been in the history of the world. And yet we've got to ask the question, what is truth? And my goal today is I want to try to pinpoint where I think we're at in God's prophetic timetable this morning, if I might. Is that all right? As you know, this week, the House of Representatives passed what is called the Equality Act. We should all pray that it doesn't get past the Senate. The Equality Act has nothing to do with equality or science. Amen. Its fundamental purpose is to suppress dissent and reasoned discussion while enforcing incoherent and nonsensical orthodoxy. In other words, they're trying to enforce something that they can't even articulate. It doesn't make any sense. Amen. They want to suppress dissent. Let me keep reading this. I'll come back to that part. Have y'all heard of George Orwell in his book 1984? You know, George Orwell, I don't need to say anything about him. But anyway, we're living in a moment where some people think we're living in an Orwellian time, okay? Because we live in a world where the official line is 2 + 2 = 5. Everybody knows at some level that's nonsense, right? Amen. But we're living in a time when no one dares challenge it. The greater the absurdity, as Orwell saw, the greater level of coercion is required to enforce it and to disable the ability to think otherwise. This Equality Act is meant to suppress dissent. You know who they're talking to? Christians. They're talking to people who believe that marriage is to be between one man and one woman. Right? Amen. They want to suppress people who believe that God created Adam and Eve, that God created man and woman. Amen. Why? Because they are against God. Yes. Don't take it personal. They're not really against you. They are against God. They hate the fact and the Green New Deal. They hate the fact that God said to Adam, I give you authority and dominion over all the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, over all the earth. You subdue it, you and you multiply. They hate that because they worship Mother Earth. And what this Equality Act wants to do is it wants to suppress the voice of God. Amen. Okay? You with me? All right. So, America today, I want you to turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Chapter 2. Page 1694, if you got a Bible like mine. I'm going to read quite a bit of scripture today because I want you to see that what's going on today is not new. Okay? Paul wrote these letters, this letter to the Thessalonians, before 70 AD. Jackie's scripture in Deuteronomy 28 this morning that described the punishment of God. That is a historical fact. God judged Israel in 70 AD. Women eating their children and their placentas. Josephus, the Jewish historian, describes as happening inside the walls of Jerusalem in 70 AD. So the point I want to make to you is this. God destroyed, allowed the Romans, raised up the Romans to destroy the temple and his city. You know, the Bible does say that judgment begins in the house of God. Amen. And don't you doubt it for a minute, because God stands over his word to prove his word. So Paul, writing to the church at Thessalonica, says in verse 1, chapter 2, he says, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Messiah had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness," can we say we have lawlessness today? My goodness, my goodness. "And now you know what is, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming." Hey, did you see that part? That's a good part. No matter who this lawless person is, whether he's one or he's many, John said there's many antichrists running around here right now. That spirit of antichrist running around. But his end, you know, Paul tells us right in verse 8, "Then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming." Let me give you a better picture. Jesus on a white horse with a two-edged sword in his mouth. That's the one that will come and destroy the lawless one. Amen? That is the breath of his mouth, the word of God. Amen? "The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders." Okay, I want you to understand. This is what got me on this looking at the unseen realm. What you see happening in America today, the evil that is happening here and around the world, Hasatan, as they say in Hebrew, or Satan, is behind it. Paul writes that right here. Okay, so we know who's behind it. Paul will tell the Ephesians that we war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rule of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 10, "And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved." See, many are being deceived because they have not received the love of the truth of God's word and have to be saved. They've rejected it. So now they're under a deception. Come on. It's got to be the devil if you don't know whether you're a boy or a girl, a man or a woman. God never created a transgender. God created man and woman. Take your clothes off and look in the mirror. That's what I'd tell them. Amen. Verse 11. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. People have believed a lie. There's been a strong delusion. Now, I read you about the Equality Act and what this one writer said about it. And I want to go back to this one part. He said that the greater level of coercion is required to enforce it. In other words, the greater the absurdity, the more people have to be involved in order for the coercion of it. For instance, we are the news media. How many of you know they play a part in the coercion, right? And the evil. They want us to believe the lie. They are deceived themselves. Remember, Hasatan's behind this. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus the Messiah. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. Hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle, our letter. Now may our Lord Jesus the Messiah himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. So the point I want you to make is, get across to you today, I believe we're living in that time of deception and delusion that has come upon people. I mean, I don't care if you voted for Trump or you voted for Biden. I don't really care right now. The point I'm trying to make is I've never seen such a hatred. It's not natural. It's supernatural. Such a hatred. And they're trying to... The man that sold pillows still sells pillows. They won't sell his pillows anymore. That is just unnatural. It's supernatural. It's a supernatural hatred. All right, turn with me to 1 Timothy. You're right there in 2 Thessalonians. Go over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, page 1703. Now, these scriptures I'm going to read you, Paul wrote before 70 AD, but they fit today. Now, the Spirit, verse 1. Now, the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to what? Deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Have we heard lies? And hypocrisy, oh my, it's waist deep in America today, right now. Now jump over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Hallelujah. Boy, I like this passage. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. But know this, that in the last days, see that last days again. The last days, perilous times will come. How many know perilous times? That doesn't sound like a picnic, does it? No. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Now, Jackie's lesson, she said they got judged because they were unthankful. Did not serve God with joy and thanksgiving. Unloving, verse 3, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Don't be hanging out with this group. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as James and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. I wrote this in my notes. I'm not smart enough to come up with it. Somebody else wrote it. But the liberal left, what they do is they deconstruct the truth. They take the truth apart. They want one part of truth. They always bring Christian, point Christians back to love. Well, doesn't Jesus want you to love your neighbor? Yeah, yeah. But Jesus also said, if you love me, obey me. Amen? Sure, I can love you, but I cannot compromise the word of God to keep you. Or to please you. I can't compromise the word of God to condone your sin. I can't. I won't. Now, let's turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. I'm going to tell you where I think we're at. And then I got something strong I want to say. Verse 18, Romans chapter 1, page 1550, got a Bible like mine. For the wrath of God, well now let's go to verse 16 because we need some good news. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, or the gospel of Messiah, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also the Greek. For the Jew first and also the Greek. Who's that mean? Jew and Gentile. For everybody. All of us. The gospel of Messiah is the power of God unto salvation. For everyone. Verse 17. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Or in the Tanakh, this is quoted from Habakkuk. And in Habakkuk, in the Hebrew Bible, it actually says the righteous will be rewarded for their fidelity or their faithfulness to God. Amen?
Amen.
So what's the answer to this craziness? The gospel of Messiah. Now let's go to verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. So who's the wrath of God going to be revealed to? The unrighteous. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, They did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful. There's that word thankful again. Nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. You can see that on almost every news show in the evening. They think they're wise, but they're really fools. And changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also, now watch this. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also, the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, merciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. There are many in this nation around the world who are being deceived by Satan.
Amen.
And there comes a point, and I believe we're at that point, this Equality Act, this transgender issue, the LGBTQT issue, God has turned them over to a debased mind. The best example I ever heard of that was many, many years ago, when AIDS was really the number one topic, you know, that they had actually were having, in bigger cities, they were having AIDS parties where you could just go, live like the devil, be infected with AIDS, but you wouldn't have to worry about it anymore. You'd be free from worry. You only had about 15 years left, but man, in 15, you'd be free from worry. That's a debased mind. That is stupid on a stick. But that's where we're at in this country. And I believe we're at the place where God has turned them over. Now, here's the strong thing I'm going to say to you right now. I don't believe there's a return for them. I don't think. Especially the leaders of these groups. I don't think there's any going back. Now let me show you what this means. Anybody wants to write it down, because I'm going to erase it here in a minute. Acharit Hayamim. Last days. But you'll never guess what it means. Two meanings. It means brighter days. It don't mean dark and gloomy. Jesus coming back. We done read where he's going to take care of the wicked one.
Amen.
Right? Can't be. I mean, if you're blood bought, filled with the Spirit of God, and you're afraid that Jesus come back, there's something wrong with you. You don't have much of a relationship. Brighter days. I'm ready for this body to put on glorification. See, our redemption's not complete until this mortal puts on immortality. Amen. And Jesus has got to come. Now, I still believe in a revival. But I believe that there's a lot of these people, especially these leaders. I'm really tempted to call them by name, but I'm going to pass because I'm not God. Money. Everything you read, they got corrupted by money. You know, their own lust. I mean, we pay congressmen and women a little under $200,000 a year, I think. So they come in and, you know, maybe they got $1 million in the bank. But after 40 years, they got 60 and 70 million. So here we are. Anybody want to copy this? You got it? Everybody got it? You got it? All right, I want to show you something. It carries the idea of something else that I want you to see. I'm going to use the middle of the board. All right? This is a historic timeline. We would say, it was 2,000 years to creation, from creation to the flood. All right? And what happened here? If this is creation, we'll write this down. Creation. And this is the flood. Something happened. Man's historical timeline, this is this line, man's historical timeline intersected with God's appointed time, right? And that produced judgment. However, so we'll go around here, we'll say 2,000 years of that, and then from the flood to the birth of Jesus, it was another 2,000 years, right? So again, the prophetic word of God. This was great. The prophetic word of God now. Okay, this is Jesus' birth. Intersects with man's timeline. God's prophetic word begins to break forth in man's historical timeline, right? Okay, but here's the thing you got to know about God. God thinks in cycles, cyclically, right? So if God broke in here with judgment, it's coming back around. It's going to circle back around. So we're about to face God's judgment again. Okay? You with me? It's about to break forth. But. Remember, part of this includes Jesus' return. So the word of God, that prophetic word of God, begins to break forth in man's timeline. That word, acharit, means brighter days. It also carries the idea of those brighter days are because God's prophetic word is beginning to break forth into history. Amen. So my Bible says that when Jesus returns, this body is going to put on immortality. Amen. It tells me he's going to stand on the Mount of Olives. He's going to sit on his throne in Jerusalem, and he is going to judge the nations. Amen? It also tells me that my Bible tells me that God wants to bring all the kingdoms of this earth into his kingdom. Amen? So along with judgment, when God's judgment, historically, anytime God had to judge a people, it produced righteousness. It produced repentance. But I think there's a number of these folks, they are beyond repentance. They almost remind me, some of our leaders in this country, they almost remind me of Pharaoh, who thought himself a God.
Amen.
My. We serve a God of life. Amen. That Equality Act, they don't want you to say anything. They don't want you to preach the truth. They don't want you to say that our Bible says that a man shouldn't lay with another man like he would a woman. They don't want us to say that aborting babies is murder. I'm telling you, this is serious. If the Senate passes that act, they're not going to silence me. You know, but they may have to come and visit me. I know you will, and bring me a cupcake, right? Yeah. We're going to have to get that started again. Here's what I want to tell you. We are living in that time of great deception. I mean, the nonsense, the absurdity is so crazy. I don't know how many times my brother and I have sat in his office and talked, and the conversation always comes around to, we've lost our minds. I agree. But they influence the rest of them. So here's my point I want to make this morning. God's judgment and Jesus' return are together. I don't think you can separate them. See, in Matthew 24, when Jesus said that he would come on a cloud, you may disagree with me, but I'm going to tell you. In Isaiah 19, it says God is coming swiftly on a cloud. And it's talking about God was raising up an army, I think it was the Ethiopian army, to bring his judgment against Egypt. So anytime God came on a cloud, it was an idiom for God's judgment is coming. Jesus says in Matthew 24, you know, he's going to come in the clouds with great glory and power. And see, I believe that he did that in 70 AD. He judged. What he was saying is, I'm going to judge. Now, the difference between that and his second coming is, judgment is coming, but he is coming. He will physically step down. My Bible says he's going to sit on the Mount of on the Temple Mount, and he will judge the nations. Amen. So when I think about Jesus coming, I think about this body being glorified. See, somebody started to laugh because I almost said this glorified body. So he started to laugh. This body puts on immortality when a lamb can lay down with a lion, when men beat their plowshares into pruning hooks and their swords into plows, and man doesn't make war anymore. Those are brighter days. Amen. Doesn't mean that they're going to come without any pain and suffering and some difficulties. But Jesus did say, he who endures till the end shall be saved.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Debbie Workman, will you help me, you and Jackie? Hallelujah. God is good. All the time. Devil tries his best